been waiting to develop it and the right Sunday to preach it, and I believe that that's what is here today. Father, we come before you again, and we just submit ourselves unto you. We know that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, and we can look unto you. So, Lord, we cry out to you right now for that you would open our hearts, open our ears. Lord, let us lay aside every weight. Let us be able to enter into your presence. Lord, I submit to your anointing today, and I thank you, God, for all of the faithfulness that you have had. Lord, from the very beginning of my life and throughout ministry and through the beginning of this congregation, Lord, and how that you've been with us and you've drawn people together, and we're a family, we're a community of people. And Lord, we pray that we will grow together. The sign out front says, come and grow with us. And Lord, we pray that that will take place. So enrich our souls with your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Tim mentioned that in the church news, there was just a little blurb there about this. But Mark 10:27 is our text this morning. And it says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. My mother was a preacher. You see, I do believe in women preachers. And my mother was a preacher. And she had a great message she shared at Calvary Commission in her later years. And she shared her message with high technology. She had something in her hand to demonstrate. It was a head of lettuce. And her message was, let us. And look at all the places in the scripture that it says, let us. And she'd take a leaf off and she'd preach about that. And she'd lay it down. Then she'd take another one off. Let us. And let us. She started preaching when she was 16 years old. Held revivals for 3 weeks one time across the river and got 50 cents in the offering. I guarantee you, if she was here today, she'd give that 50 cents. She's up there praying for us, maybe. I mean, she's up there for sure, but I don't know what all they're doing in heaven. You know, people say they're looking down on us. Well, I don't know, but I do know that that God is real and he has a place for us. But my mother said something else in a message. She's talking about impossible. She said, what you got to do is take the imp off of it. What is an imp? Well, it's a little devil or a demon or an evil spirit. And you just got to take that imp off and it becomes possible. You got it? Okay, let's go home. That's the message. No, Mama preached it. We're going to start this morning with the Moses, deliverance of the people of God from Egypt, bondage. Isn't that what God wants to do? But it took miracles. It took miracles. And we know that they got delivered, but they still had to walk in faith. They were out of Egypt, and they were camping out, and they were headed for the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, well, Moses faced a situation because he was standing there at the Red Sea, and there was water. He looked to the right and there was water. He looked to the left and there was water. He looked straight ahead and there was water. He looked behind him and Pharaoh had changed his mind and was coming with his chariots to take him back. He had lost his slaves, so he wanted them back. You realize that's what the devil wants to do? He wants you back. He doesn't want you to be in freedom anymore. He wants you to be in bondage to him. And Moses stood there and there was only one place left to look. He had been to the right, he'd been to the left, he looked here, he looked back. And that was up. He looked up, and God said to him, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Chapter 14, verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again any more forever. So that stuff in the back was going to go away forever. That stuff that was there, that bondage that was trying to come back on you, it was going to go away forever. He said, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. What a promise that we have there, that he will be there for us. And he stretched out his rod and the waters opened, and there was a wall of water on each side and no mud, Timothy, No mud slides. None of that stuff. But pure dry ground to walk on. What a day that would have been to have been there. That miracle that happened. And you could, talking about an aquarium, you could look to the right and see all of those fish swimming and all of those coral reefs and the snorkeling stuff they do. It was just all right there as they walked through. And boy, the Egyptians thought, man, we got it made. I don't know how they did that, but it's open for us too. They got on the other side. And he turned his rod back, and the waters came back. And Keith Green's song said, dirty Egyptians, they got washed that day, you know. And so the enemy was defeated, and they came up on the other side, and they sang songs of deliverance. And it was a blessed time of realizing what God had done. Can you look back and see what God has done in your life already? Can you look back and see when he opened the Red Sea for you, when he was there when you needed him? There was a time you called upon him. There was a song in the 60s. You can tell by the name, by the lyrics. It said, I can tell you a time when I didn't have a dime. I couldn't call on nobody but the Lord. You see, you could take a dime and go to a payphone back then. Now, hey, youth, there used to be payphones before cell phones, you know. And so we called upon the Lord, and he heard our prayer, and he set us free. He delivered us. He was there when we needed him, and he was there. And we called upon him, and he was there. You see, he is the God of the possible. We can face the impossible with the power of the Lord, with the rod that God gives us, with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God. We can face the impossible. Even as we were talking about kingdom builders a few moments ago, that might look impossible, but our God is able to supply the need to finish that building. We will be in that building. Amen? We will be there, and we won't have to borrow money to get it done. We will be in there because our God has put it in our hearts, and it's going to happen. He's going to do it. There's a way, because he is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And so we can rest assured. There was another time in Scripture that, you know, the children probably should have stayed in here today because they would have enjoyed my Bible stories, but it's called the fiery furnace story, and it's in Daniel chapter 3, and we find out how that Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, and it was this big thing, 60 cubits and all this stuff, and he was commanding the people to bow down. When the music hit, when the sound hit, you're supposed to bow down and worship it. But you see, there was three young men there that would not compromise. They said, we will not bow down. I would just be prophetic a little bit here this morning and say, in our future, there's going to be some things we're going to have to make a stand for. Because we cannot go the way of the world. We have got to recognize that we are believers, and we're going to have to stand up for what we believe. And in verse 4, Daniel chapter 3, then a herald cried out aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship should be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I proclaim to you today that in our world today, there are idols. There are things that are endeavoring for you to worship, for you to fall down and to worship, to be there and to put your allegiance to that person or that situation or that dollar bill or that gold or whatever. It's the same today. And so it was that it says in verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When I learned that, I thought it was a billy goat. But his name was Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you've set up. So out of all of his provinces, here was three people that said, we will not do it. He was enraged. He commanded them to be brought before the king, And he says, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship? And they said, yes, O king, we will not bow down. We will not bow down and worship. Our God is the God of heaven. And they said in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve is able. Can you say God is able? He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Think about the persecuted church this morning. Think about Saeed Abedini, Assembly of God pastor in Iranian prison, who will not bow down. Torture, everything possible to be able to say, we're going to make you bow down. He will not bow down. All he has to do is say, I renounce Jesus. I worship Islam. And he could be home with his family. He will not bow down. They said, our God is able, and we trust in him. You see, we've got to have the kind of faith that whatever. We had a brother that got saved, and he knew he'd committed a crime, and they were looking for him. So he wouldn't turn himself in. Maybe he thought, if I'll turn myself in, they'll deal lightly with me. So he went before the judge. The judge gave him 25 years. He said, praise God, and walked away and went to prison and served the Lord the rest of the time he was there. Serves God today. You see, it's like, not, I'll do this, God, if you'll work a miracle for me. We don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know why I've had 5 surgeries, but praise God, I can dance this morning. And we prayed every time. And one time I reached over and touched the surgeon's hands and prayed over his hands. And I told him the other day, bless you. He said, well, thank you. You see, but we don't know. But it says, if not, we will not bow down. It's a commitment. We will not bow down. Verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, their garments, and they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was extremely hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who threw them in. Would that give you the fear of the Lord, Bill? These 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They said, yes, true, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we can go anywhere if God's with us. We can be in any situation if God's with us. Scripture says, when you're delivered up, think not what you will say. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say because he is with us. And Nebuchadnezzar could not believe it. And verse 27, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and king's counselors gathered together. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Hallelujah. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments smelled like smoke. It was not upon them. And he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's words, and they yielded their bodies, and he said, we will worship their God. You can not, don't say anything against their God. He promoted them in the province of Babylon. You see, God plus you is always a majority. If we'll do only what we can do, God will do what only He can do. If we'll do the natural, He'll do the supernatural. If we'll do the human, He'll do the supernatural. He'll do the miraculous because He is God. God plus you is always a majority. So we move on this morning and we talk about Elisha and the king of Assyria. Elisha, the prophet that Elijah went up and his garment fell and he caught it and he got a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And so here's Elisha and the king of Assyria. They were making war against Israel and he said, "My camp is in such and such a place." And the man of God sent the king of Israel saying, "Beware that you don't go to that place, for the Syrians are coming down there." And the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told them, and he warned them. He was watchful, not just once or twice. And so in verse 11, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants to them and said, 'Will you not show me for us who is this king of Israel? What is happening?'" And in verse 12, it says, "And one of the servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.'" You see, our God is a God that knows all. And He goes before us. Hallelujah. We are believing and praying that those justices that are going to make the decision about Hannah Sines Overton, that in their sleep they're going to hear voices, that they're going to have dreams, they're going to be able to realize this girl is innocent. It says that the king of Israel, that he knows what you're saying because of the word of knowledge that comes to him. He said, "Go and see where he is. I'm going to get him." They said, "He's in Dothan." Verse 14, "Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?'" Okay, they were in a bad situation. In the natural, they were already defeated. There was no way that it could happen. You see, I believe that we can face the impossible with the power of God. And I love this scripture, 2 Kings 6:16. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than there are on theirs." Isn't that scriptural? Greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. "Now unto Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us." He says there's more on our side than there is on theirs. I was in a very troubled situation, and I was getting ready to make a transition. My house, he had said he'd buy it, but then he told me that I had to get all the carpets out. And then he went and he said, "But you got staples on the floor, a very hard man to deal with." And then he said, "I might just forget this whole thing." Well, I knew that I couldn't sell it then with everything torn out. You know, he really had me in a bind there. And he even told me I had to tear the chicken house down that my boys and I had built because it was ugly. I did that too. And I drove up over here on Broadway to the place we were going to sign the note. And he was going to give me the check. And I sat out there, and I was nervous. I thought, what if he changes his mind? And God dropped this scripture in my heart. There's more on our side than there is on his. And I went in, and the rest is history. Amen. King James says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." That says it pretty straight. There's more on our side. You're on the winning side. So we move on in our quest for how to face the impossible. And we go to the Bible story of David and the giant. A A giant. What was a giant? Well, there's different thoughts. There's thoughts about his height. Some say he was 6'9" because people were shorter then. Some people, he was 9'6", but he was a big man. And he wore a protective coat that weighed at least 78 pounds. Several commentaries placed the weight of the coat at 156 U.S. pounds. The length of his spear may have been as long as 26 feet. Wow. And his head, the thing on his head weighed at least 17 pounds. He was a formidable opponent indeed. David had these heavy, supersized weapons to transport. You see, David goes to check on his brothers. This giant had been coming out, and he had been defying the word of God, the God of Israel. He had been saying, "Will any man come and fight with me?" I really believe today that's what the world is saying. Do you have an answer? You got something that show us what you got. That's what they're saying. Show us what you got. And so he was there, and they were at war, and I've been there. Several people in our congregation were there, and we saw the valley and so on, and we got one of those stones, you know, and brought it home with us. And they said that they have to put them out every day because people pick them up, you know. But but we were there. And so you can just picture that on one side was the Philistine army and this giant out there every day just saying, "Anybody want to come fight with me? You know, I'll just feed you to the birds. I'm going to feed you to the birds." Well, all of a sudden, well, David's brothers were there at the war, and little David, the shepherd boy, was there. And his father said, "Take some things to the commanders and to your brothers and give them some food and just give them a little blessing." And so David goes, and all of a sudden his oldest brother says to him, he's angry at David, says, "Why did you come here? Who'd you leave your sheep with?" Said, "I know your pride, your heart. You've come down to see the battle. You want to see some adventure." And David said this. He says, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And I ask you that today. Is there not a cause that's worth fighting for? Is there not a cause that's worth living for? Is there not a cause? And you know, what is cause? Well, it's a concern. Is there not a concern? Is there not a purpose? What's the question anyway? Is there not a cause, he says? And verse 31, "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported him to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine,'" or Philistine, whatever. "And Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go up against the Philistine to fight with him. You're just a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth.' And then David said, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it, and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.'" What did he do there? Take this home with you. He remembered the victories of the past. What has God done for you in the past? You like the song, "Look What the Lord Has Done"? See, look what he's done. You get discouraged. Well, look back at the miracles that God has already done in your life. Look back at how he saved you and he delivered you and he brought you forth and you have a new life and his blessings are there. Look back. If we're going to face the impossible, we need to remember God's past miracles. He said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said, "Go and the Lord be with you." And so he takes his armor and he puts it on David, the bronze helmet on his head. He clothes him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. He had not tested them. David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these. I've not tested them. I've got weapons you know not of." Amen. "I've got weapons you know not of." And so he took them off. You see, We don't need the world's ammunition. You cannot fight the devil with his type of weapons. You have got to be able to say, I'm going to take that which I've tested, which I've proved, which is there. You know what's so beautiful about a new believer? They just believe everything they hear. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And God works miracles for them. When we started out in ministry, it seemed like everything that we touched was miraculous. After a while, God said, I'm going to let you have to pray some of this in for a while, you know. But it was just miraculous. It was just everything was there, and God was just doing it. But you see, we've got to use God's kind of ammunition against the enemy. So, verse 40 of chapter 17, 1 Samuel. He took the stone in his, the staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had. His sling was in his hand. He drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, it disdained him, for he was only a kid, a youth, ruddy, good-looking. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you'd come to me with these sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, which you have defiled. We can face the impossible in the name of the Lord of Israel, in the God of the armies of Israel. We can face the impossible. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I bet he was laughing. Look at this little kid saying this. I'll strike you and I'll take your head from you. Ha, 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 he said. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Folks, let's be a people that the world will know there's a God in Tyler, Texas. That there's a God at Church of Living Hope. Because we have tested it and we're walking in it. And God is working among us. Then all the assembly will know the Lord does not save with a sword and a spear. For the battle is the Lord's. And he will give it in our hands. So fret not, worry not, the battle is the Lord's. We have to turn it over to him. Verse 48, so it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to David, the giant, that David ran toward the enemy. You're going to run toward him or run away? He put his hand in the bag, he took out a stone, he slung it. It struck the Philistine, his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead. He fell on his face of the earth. He had 4 more, but he didn't need them. So David prevailed over this Philistine with a sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. Cut off his head with it. Sorry, it's a little rated X or something. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. Now look who's running. See, they're not running away. They're running towards the enemy, and the enemy's running away. Let that sink in this morning, that God wants us to run to him, and the enemy will run the other way. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's how that we can say the battle is the Lord's, because we're not using our man-made weapons. We're not using the world's methods. We're not using the world's weapons. We are able to say, my God is able, and he is able, and I trust in him. They were afraid and they ran. David ran to the Philistine. He took his sword. He drew it out. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. They were running towards the enemy until they came to the valley of Ekron. And the children of Israel returned after chasing after the Philistines. Are you chasing the enemy away this morning? They even went and spoiled their tents. They got everything that they had left behind. They were putting the enemy on the run. We don't run away. We run the race. Have you thought this week of running away? You thought this week about giving up? We don't give up, we get up. We don't run away, we run to Him. Try to pray this prayer most every morning, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking up, like Moses did. The author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. There's a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. We looked this morning at the video and we realized what God has done and how that He took just about 35 people in that little building, and we started the Church of Living Hope. It was called Hope Christian Fellowship. We've been faithful, and God has been faithful. Do you believe that? And He's brought us this far, and He's brought victory into the camp again and again. And so there's those that have even gone before us now, and they're cheering us on to victory. My opening text scripture, Mark 10:27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Do you believe it this morning? Can you chase the enemy away today? Can you not give up, but get up? Can you find that victory this morning in your life? Hannah, would you want to come this morning? What seems impossible in your life today? Sometimes I hear people say, well, I cannot change. That's just the way I am. They're defeated already. Because our God is a God of deliverance. And He wants to take away those things that are hindering us from running the race. Those weights that are there. It said, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and run the race with patience that is set before us. How do we do that? We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. We get our strength, our power from Him to go on. We can say, I can make it another day because He is with me. I can look back and I see what the Lord has done. And I realize that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've been trying to keep a journal since 1971. Sometimes when I'm kind of at the point of confusion or discouragement, well, I'll get one of the journals out and I'll read my little scribbly writings. And I say, you know, there was a time when I just didn't know how this was going to ever happen. It was just a dark day that day. And all of a sudden, I read a few pages over, or maybe 6 months over later, and I see how that God came through and He brought solution. And that's why I like the word breakthrough, because we know that our God is able to do that. So don't say it's just the way I am. If you're here today and you've been, there's something hanging on. It's a bondage in your life. We know that our God is the deliverer, and you can bring that to the altar today, and you can confess it to the Lord, and He will deliver it. We have a changed God that desires to change you, and He's an all-changing one in your life to bring you out to the holiness that He wants to put in your life. On Wednesday night here, we actually prayed for the service and for the message this morning, but as part of our intercession, we began to pray for revival. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't stand still. Move about. And we began to walk around and move up and down these seats and pray for revival. That we said we don't know what that would look like, but we want freshness. We want a touch from God in this church. Do you think that a 2014 revival in this church is impossible? Do you think a revival in Tyler, Texas, in East Texas, is impossible? Do you think this United States is over and that God has forsaken us and that we will? Could we have revival? Could it go from the prison house to the White House? You believe that signs and wonders are for today? We've got some signs and wonders already, what God has done in our lives. And the world can come and see that if He's done it for us, He'll do it for them. Detective told me the other day that this was a battleground that we're in here, on this corner. But our captain has never lost a battle. Stand, please. Father, we come to You this morning. Deliver my soul. Pray that You'd impart faith to this congregation, Lord, that nothing's impossible. And that we can face the impossible. We can take on the challenge that is before us. That we are able with Your Spirit, as Your Word says, it's not by might, so we can't do it through our own might, through manpower. It's not through power, but it's by Your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Your Word says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Tyler, Texas was included in that. 3308 West Gentry Parkway was included in that. Lord, we want to be a church of signs and wonders. We want to be a church that's a bright light shining in a dark world and serving a great purpose. An oasis in the desert. An oasis in the battleground, Lord. So, Lord, we ask You first of all to begin to work in our lives of those things that we think are impossible. Lord, we ask You this morning to bring solution. Lord, I can say thank You for the battle, because we know that through the battle, there's going to be victory. We can chase the enemy. We will not be defeated. In the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. You desire to seek the Lord this morning. We're going to give some time for the altar to be open. Deliverance. Salvation. Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. Well, you've heard about Jesus. You heard about God, but He's not Lord of your life. You're living a life of sin. You're living in contrary to the Word of God. You say, I can't do it. It's impossible. I can't make it. Nothing is impossible. Through our God, all things are possible. So I invite you to come to Jesus this morning. I invite you to come to the altar for salvation, for deliverance today, for healing. God wants to heal you. He wants to heal your emotions as well today. He wants to bring solution to your life, whatever it might be.
While Pastor Joe was preaching, I was reminded of a brief thing I saw on the news day before yesterday. There's a certain pregnant woman in Iran who has been imprisoned, and they're threatening to execute her. She has converted from Islam to Christianity, and Jesus. They are, I'm not sure what date, but they're threatening to execute her if she doesn't recant. And as of day before yesterday, she had refused to renounce Jesus. And I would like for this whole congregation, since there's the message and the whole attitude is about lifting up to our God, the God of the Apostles, that this woman would be strengthened.
However, strengthen her right now, Lord, we pray.
If she lives
right now,
or dies, she would be strengthened.
Her,
and I would like for her
Lord Jesus,
us to pray for her,
Lord God, this day.
Because she is facing execution if she will
Jesus,
not renounce
Lord.
Jesus. So
oh God.
Let's lift her up today.
Hallelujah.
I don't know her name, but
Jesus.
God knows exactly who she is and where
oh
she is.
God.
Thank
yes.
you.
Amen and amen.
Brothers, sisters, I want to share something with y'all too. I love the Lord. I mean, I really do, you know. And I just want to share with y'all this message that they gave us today. It's take it in your heart, man. Get rooted.
Bring it about, Lord.
You know, take it. You know, and we face in the world, it's real. There's real prosecution. There's real people, really insult you, you know. And I'm just going to share this with y'all because I just barely started working in the job over here and here on Irwin Street. You know, there's a guy there that when I first walked in there, he was looking at my tattoos. And I'm very alert of people, you know. I used to be a former ex-gang member for the Mexican Mafia. And you know what? I don't want nothing to do with them people. Nothing. You know, and I know those people, they're all over here in Tyler, Texas.
You're able, Lord.
And, you know, they look at this tattoo I got right here, on this black spot right here I got on my forearm. I used to be a former ex-gang member for the Mexican Mafia out of California. And he walked up to me and told me, he said, hey, are you a Mexican Mafia member? And I look at him and I told him, said, look, whatever I got under this tattoo here, it's none of your business. What's in my heart is your business. Well, he tried to use that to put fear in my heart, you know. On my first day of work, I went, you know what? I'm just guilty as everybody else in this world, man. I was fixing to walk away from that job because of fear. You know, I go, you know what? The devil, when I went home, he was whispering in my ear, that he's going to go tell his homeboys that you're here in Texas, here in Tyler. And I struggled with that all that night long. And I said, God, you know, Lord, Father God, I'm going to bind that spirit away from me, Lord. And you know, Father God, and you know what, David, you know, I hear sermons about David, you know, he was a little kid and he was going to face this giant, you know, Goliath, you know, and I had to put myself with David. And I said, you know, Father God, I'm going to bind that spirit away from me, Lord, Heavenly Father, and I'm going to ask you that you give me the strength, Father God. Nothing is stronger than you, Lord, Father God, and you know, Father God, that the enemy is defeated, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father God. And you know what? I prayed that prayer and I went back to work the next day. Guess what? This guy is standing in front of me and he pulled his hand out and say, Ram, I respect for what you're doing, man.
Okay.
You know, I really fear God, Ram. And you know, something was drilling in my head, and I say, you know, man, I was about to turn away from the enemy. He was going to beat this battle, and I'm glad I didn't. And you know, I share this with y'all guys because this sermon today is real, and everyone is here to receive that. You know what? You take it, and I trust, man, believe me, you can go far away with that message today. Go home and read it again and pray. Get it on your knees and ask God, you know, Father God, help me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Build me.
Yes, God.
Strengthen me.
Yes, God.
Just what happened with the Palestinians. And you'll do it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Would you just say with me, there's more with us than there is with them. Amen. How many would join me this morning and say there's some things I'm dealing with that would be impossible without God's help? But I believe God. Lord, this morning we pray that you would show yourself strong in each life that has their hand up, Lord. And God, that you would be there. Lord, even as a congregation, Lord, that we would be able to complete more and more of the vision you've put in our hearts and our lives. And that the people we're reaching will become soldiers in the army of the Lord. Lord, that we're not safe to sit, we're safe to serve. And Lord, that we would be a growing body of believers here. Lord, that would show your light to the world around us, oh God. So Lord, let us take this message in our hearts, and that we can face the impossible. In the name of the Lord of hosts, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Stretch your hand this way. I'm going to just bless you as you go today, and as you fellowship with each other, as you go out. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Take the message with you. Believe for the impossible. Believe for the miraculous. Go and find a need and meet it, and find a hurt and heal it. Go and be light in a dark place. Go and tell people the reason for the hope that's within you.
Hallelujah. We're going to just dismiss here in just a second, but we do have foundations class tonight. So
tonight.
We got, right now, I'm sorry.